Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, how one woman became a passionate runner and running advocate.
I'm fiercely, fiercely proud of what the running community has not only given to me, but what I've been able to give to it. And what it's the give and take within that community. And really, if there was one thing besides myself, going above and beyond myself, it's the love of my community.
Why and how to run all winter long.
People who run year-round generally have a better outlook. They don't get as depressed in the wintertime. The other thing is it's easier to get back into the routine. A lot of times starting up your training program in March to try to get ready for a marathon in May seems like a kind of a rush. And if you've been running the whole time, you may not have to be training yet for that marathon, but it gives you a better base to work from.
And running to overcome grief.
I remember crossing the finish line and seeing my partner and my mom and my brother there at the end of the finish line, and it was quite an emotional moment for me. I broke down at the end and thought, okay, I did it. This is it. I'm able to move beyond these tragedies, and it's not going to hold me back anymore because I was able to do this. And so it was really motivating and symbolic for me.
All of that and more coming up on iRun Radio. We're joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
We've got Mark Sullivan coming up on the show today, runner and coach from Pennsylvania, who wrote a blog post recently for us about winter running. It's, we're all used to it, of course, but it never hurts to hear those tips again about how to manage things, right? How to make it work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, and it also, it's you know these things, but you need to remind yourself that, right, you can do this. And also that, you know, it is hard. It is hard when the wind is blowing and it's freezing cold. Like, you know, it's not an easy thing. So,
yeah.
And Mark's the best.
Yeah. And I know you've gotten lots of response and feedback to his posting about that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and some of the tips, I mean, they really make sense. I mean, you hear this stuff and, you know, it almost seems silly, but like putting your sneakers by the front door the night before, you know, you're doing a morning run. So when you get up in the morning and you see your shoes by the front door, like, you know, that's one step closer towards out the door.
Yeah.
That works.
I'm going to tease him a little bit, though, because I find it interesting that we have to turn to an American to tell us about winter running here in Canada, you know? We should have this down pat. This is our thing.
Well,
this is who we are.
Oh, how do you do it? What's your best? How do you, you know, it's when Ottawa was the coldest capital in the world, how did you get out the door?
I just, you know, I'm compulsive about running. I just don't give it up ever. You know, I don't let anything get in the way of me running. That's just what it's come to for me. So sometimes it's tough. You know, I got to tell you, this year I've got a treadmill for the first time in my life, and I'm using that a lot. It works better for my schedule because it means I can run when I'm home with the kids. And so it's not just avoiding the cold. It's partly logistics, but it helps. I'll tell you, it helps on some of those cold days that I can turn on the TV and run in a t-shirt and shorts, and it's a little bit more boring and I don't get the same thinking time that I do with an outdoor run, but you know what? If that's what it takes to get me through the winter. The other thing I would say about it is you got to mix it up all the time, right? You got to change what you're doing or it starts to get repetitive. So for me this year, changing what I was doing meant running on a treadmill in my basement instead of running outside. Not that I'm doing that all the time because I still run outside pretty regularly, but and especially for the longer runs. But, you know, it's changed things up and it's a different routine and a different environment, and that's what's working for me now.
Yeah, hey, and you know, whatever works.
Yeah.
But there's a guy I like, and he's an elite runner, or, you know, he's not super well known, but he's just a super nice guy. He actually works at the TTC here in Toronto. His name is Sammy Jabril. And I run into him sometimes down in the water. And I remember I ran into him once on one of these cold, just yucky nights. And it was at that time I had, I think Krista was in Kenya writing a blog for us, and I said something
Krista
to him.
Duchesne?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I said something to him like, don't, you know, so we're on the run, and I'm running with this guy, and the wind is, you know, we're freezing, but we're doing it. We're out there. And I was like, you know, and you should go to Kenya with Krista. And he was like, I like being out here like this. You know, in Kenya, they can't get this kind of workout. Like, look at what we're doing right now. This makes us stronger runners. And I just love that because I love that feeling like, yeah, this is where this is tough guy stuff out here right now. This is putting, you know, marathon is nothing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it does make you feel tough. It does make you feel like you've conquered the elements, like you've earned it, like you deserve some credit for your run. You didn't wimp out, you toughed it out. And I can remember a couple of very big training runs that I had to do in winter conditions, 30K, 35K training runs when it was minus 25 or when it was snowing. And, you know, you remember those things, and they're milestones in your life just like the races are, right? I mean, they're right up there. Yeah.
And everybody looks at you like you're nuts, and, you know, you're just like, no, I'm fine. Yeah,
yeah.
I did that. And they're like, you were running. You don't run in this. It's like, I do. I absolutely do.
Oh, and which, who doesn't love when you're in a group of non-runners and one of them will say, oh, you didn't go for a run this morning, did you? That's crazy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you just very casually, right? You know, you don't overplay it, right? But it's like, oh, yeah, no, of course, I got my running. Really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How far did you go? Oh, 25K. 25K? Yeah. Who doesn't love that moment?
Well, that's what they don't know. When you're standing for the bus, you know, it's freezing.
Right.
But when you're in your fancy schmancy getup and you're out there and you're
Moving. You're moving.
Yeah. You know, that's the piece de resistance.
Yeah. Like I always say, I'd rather be running than standing still in the winter, right?
Totally.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right, Ben, we will talk to you next week. Thank you.
I appreciate it, sir.
That's iRun's editor and general manager, Ben Kaplan. We have a great show coming up. Just ahead, we'll talk to a passionate runner from Moncton, New Brunswick. We'll be right back. Discover the Pentathlon des Neiges, presented by MEC, the world's biggest winter multi-sport with 6,000 participants on the historical Plains of Abraham. It's also for you. Visit pentathlondesneiges.com. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. And you can also listen to the podcast and check out past editions of the show at iRun.ca. Just click on radio. Charlotte Flewelling has become a passionate runner and also a passionate advocate for our sport. She joins us from Moncton, New Brunswick. Hello, Charlotte. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about how you got into running. Where does your journey begin?
My journey actually begins when I was a very young child. My dad used to run, and I would see him, especially at the cottage during the summer, finish his runs. And sometimes he would run right past the cottage into the water, but sometimes he would finish right there. And that's really where everything began.
Okay, and so tell me a little bit more about what your dad did as a runner. What kind of running was he doing?
I actually don't know because I was extremely young, kind of at that stage where I was just starting to remember things. But I do know that he enjoyed running very much. And ironically, he was around the same age that I was when I actually started officially running.
That's interesting. And you mentioned that he would sometimes run right into the water. I've had that experience myself where you're at the end of a long run in the middle of the summer, or you got out for a few minutes, a few kilometers, and it's so hot that all you can think of is getting back to the lake and just diving straight in.
Yeah. And what would separate him would be the stairs down to the river. And that's also probably where I got my love for swimming, which is something else I love to do. But I just remember vividly, especially it being the late 80s, as I'm in my 30s currently, I just remember him finishing his runs in the morning. And really, even though it was later on when I was in my 30s, so for about 5 years now, that I actually physically did running, I always kind of had it in the back of my mind.
You always had it in the back of your mind that you were going to take up running.
I did, and it was a case of sudden inspiration / when were you going to do it? Back in 2012, I was actually volunteering for a local youth center fundraiser, and it was at that point that I saw all types of people running 5 and 10K, and I was like, I think I can do this, even though I had seen running various disciplines in, like, the Olympics and people running. It was just that sudden inspiration that was like, okay, I think I can do it.
Okay, and so what happened?
I ended up being about a year and a couple of months later, and I started in 2013, in October 2013, 71 days after having my gallbladder removed, because it was blocking my pancreas, so it was basically shutting down my body. And I really used it as a form of healing and just being extra active. I choose not to have a vehicle, so I use alternate transportation, buses, taxis, walk and run most places, and bike as well. But I was like, okay, this is doable, and literally up half a block and then back. And as I got better, I got further and did probably about 3 or 4 weeks before the actual event, did an entire 5K and officially did my first race, more specifically, October 27th, 2013, here in Moncton.
In Moncton. And how did that change your outlook? What did you get from the experience of taking this on and accomplishing that goal?
I was on a local community team from a very large broadcaster here. And that's when I started to realize the sense of community, both in running itself, but also here in Moncton. Maybe like 99 or 2000 our run started, something like that, as a fundraiser for literacy initiatives. And then it's been growing to be one of the largest runs in New Brunswick. I also had that kind of literacy tutor when I was in grade 12 as well. So just the cause of running plus knowing where your money was going, just that huge sense of community.
Right. But how did it change how you felt about yourself? What did it do for you personally?
Well, if you really want to know, I have had learning disabilities and mental health issues related to those learning disabilities since I was 11. And I finally found something that slowly the passion came. And finding out in 2013, 2014 more about a proper diagnosis with my mental illness, kind of, it helped me renew myself and know that I was able to do it, even though it seemed impossible.
Yeah, that is a powerful feeling, isn't it? To start from nowhere and to get somewhere and to do something you wouldn't have been able to do 6 months earlier or maybe never even thought you could do, and to actually cross that finish line, right?
And I still remember it to this day as honestly the most amazing finish so far, even though as I grew in distance, because I literally trained that winter and my next race was my very first 10K in Halifax at the Blue Nose Marathon in Halifax. And at that point, I was a volunteer as well with Ronald McDonald House here in Atlantic Canada. And that changed my life. And then I had a whole new part of that community. So really, what keeps me running and what has kept me running is not only myself personally and going above and beyond at each step, but it's the community. And people say very, very strange things about running communities, but I tell them otherwise. And I'm fiercely, fiercely proud of what the running community has not only given to me, but what I've been able to give to it, and what it's the give and take within that community. And really, if there was one thing besides myself going above and beyond myself, it's the love of my community.
Describe that finish line experience for me. What do you remember from it?
I guess the best description is, especially for a first, either in the distance or first race ever, It is that excitement and buildup during training. And you are literally standing there at your start line, ready to execute your race. You execute your race. And for me, probably about a half a kilometer before, sometimes even maybe a kilometer before, depending on how I feel, that's where I get the biggest adrenaline rush, and that's where I get what I like to call my speedy legs. And I know, for instance, here in Moncton, the finish line is on Main Street, and I know at City Hall, after we do our last left onto Main Street, I know at City Hall is where I start that zoom right down to the finish line. And truly, unless you've really either watched a race or have been in a race, you don't quite understand how powerful it is and how exhilarating it is.
And so just walk me through it. What were you going through when you approached that finish line of your first 5K in Moncton?
Having overcome sickness, as I mentioned, 71 days after my gallbladder removal, I was in a very interesting headspace for a first race. I was focused, yet I was willing to let it be. I was willing to go with it. And the finish line that year was probably the most honestly vivid memory is, as a part of our community team, and it involves, of course, it's actually a CBC team, and it's a community team. And ironically, two people from the CBC were calling the race. And I looked up just as I was about at the finish line and connected eyes with one of the team members, like the actual staff of CBC that I had known for years. And then I just kept going. And all I remember is when I did finish, I put my hands on my thighs, and my first thought was, oh my gosh, I just did 5K. And second of all, she had said, and that is Charlotte Flewelling from Team CBC. I cried.
Wow.
And I can take you to the exact point in Main Street where the finish line is, and the setup of our race is very similar every year. So I could take you to the exact spot on Main Street where they were calling the race from, where everything goes on, as I've actually just recently, this past October, celebrated the start to my fifth year running with the fifth running of that particular race and a distance change. So
you've done it every year since then, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So 2013 on, I have participated in Legs for Literacy in Moncton, ironically with the Team CBC. 2013 and 2014 and 2015, I did a 5K. 2016, I did a 10K. In 2017, I jumped up to a half marathon.
Wow.
And I am a half marathoner.
Good for you. Congratulations. And how has all of this changed your outlook about everything else? Because I've talked to lots of runners who say once they do something like this, it makes them feel like they can take on anything.
It's, once again, going back with starting off with a learning disability and then subsequently having mental health issues. It's hard to describe, but I think the best description would be it's given me a reason to continue on and to continue to fight in general, not only just because of the mental health issues, not only just because of the learning disability. It's given me a chance to be the best that I can be on any day, so any race day or any training day. And it's given me motivation that I really, really don't think would be there.
Well, Charlotte, it is great to hear your story, and I congratulate you on all of your races, especially this half marathon that you ran this past year. Thank you so much for joining us on iRun Radio.
Thank you.
That's Charlotte Flewelling of Moncton, New Brunswick. Coming up next, how and why you should keep running all winter long. Canada's longest-running marathon, the Scotiabank Calgary Marathon, is a challenging, competitive, and fun event with a race designed for everyone of any level. Register now at calgarymarathon.com and experience the vibrancy of Calgary on May 27th. I've run into Mark Sullivan at a number of running events in Canada and the United States over the past few years. He's a runner and coach in Pennsylvania. He has participated in every single edition of the Philadelphia Marathon. He's run the Boston Marathon more than 30 years in a row. And he's going to share with us his tips for keeping going all the way through winter. Mark, great to talk to you again.
Thank you for having me. It's always good to talk to you, Mark.
And I know you've been struggling through an injury, and it's taken a lot longer to get back from that than you have, than anybody would want, really. But I wish you the best of luck with that, because I know you have a couple of streaks going. You've done Boston 31 years in a row, and you've done every edition of the Philadelphia Marathon. So I wish you the very best in terms of recovering from that injury.
Thank you. I'm hoping to be there for Philly, and well, of course, Boston too earlier this year, but Philly is going to be a big one this year. It's going to be the 25th anniversary.
Yeah, and I guess there's a small number of you that have done it every year?
Very small number. There's two.
Okay.
So,
I thought it was a few more than that. Yeah, I thought it was a few more than that.
No, actually, we started a program then in hopes of getting more people involved with wanting to do streaks there. We started a legacy running program there. And we're now, anybody can get into the legacy program if they have 15 or more Philadelphia marathons completed.
Okay.
And so we're up to 10 people now who have done 15 or more.
Nice. Well, I know, that's so one that I still haven't done and I would love to do. So I have to put that on the calendar either next year or the year after, because I definitely want to do
that
one.
Yeah, you should. Everybody who comes says they really enjoy it.
Yeah.
They do a really good job there. They do a really, really good job.
And a lot of Canadians do it.
Oh, a lot of them. Tremendous number. I have so many. I do the seminar at the expo on Friday and Saturday for the course, and so many of them are, you know, who come. So many Canadians come to that seminar and say, oh, you know, we're from Ottawa, whatever, and then I talk to them afterwards. And everybody says the same thing. They love the course. They love the city. And from a logistical standpoint, it's a very good race to run. It's very similar to Ottawa in the way that you can, all the hotels are very close to the start.
Yeah. All right, you wrote something for us, and I think it's great that we have somebody who lives in the northern United States talking to Canadians about what to do in the winter. I love that dynamic. Part of me thinks it should be the other way around. I thought we were the winter experts, but you have done your share of winter running, of course. You run year-round, and you gave some great advice in this piece you wrote for iRun. Give us a few of the tips that you contributed people can read at iRun.ca, but just share a few of them with us right now.
Well, I talked about getting out and running all year round, and not just as a seasonal training, you know, not just to take off in the winter and run only in the spring and the fall, but to run year round because for several reasons, but one of which is that you'll stay healthier. Running health, that is, because you won't be having periods completely off. Starting up again from scratch, it's easier to get injured, but you'll also suffer from less seasonal anxiety. People who run year-round generally have a better outlook. They don't get as depressed in the wintertime. The other thing is it's easier to get back into the routine early in the year. A lot of times starting up your training program in March to try to get ready for a marathon in May seems like a kind of a rush. And if you've been running the whole time, you may not have to be training yet for that marathon, but it gives you a better base to work from. So that's one of the things.
You never have to ramp up, right? That's the thing that I like about it. If you're running year-round, then you're never starting over.
Exactly. And if you feel like you're so much further ahead, it gives you a psychological benefit that should not be overlooked.
Yeah.
People who have to start from scratch like that, it really takes a lot. I mean, if you're already running, you know, several kilometers a day, even if it's not a lot, you look at that as a good starting point. So it's definitely worth doing. I gave some advice about how to dress, but talking about layers. I talked about making sure that you're seen. That was another one that's very important because of the shorter daylight hours. It's difficult. And, you know, I've talked about the importance of having reflective apparel and either wearing a headlamp or taking a flashlight with you, possibly, a blinking light, you know, some of the ones that they sell at like the running room, places like that. They sell some great stuff like that to use, but it's very important to make sure that you have enough reflectivity on your body that people can see you. I talked about making sure that you layer properly, staying away from cotton. Yeah, that's especially for new runners. A lot of new runners just don't understand the benefits of synthetic fabrics. So if they visit a specialty running store like the Running Room, they have a better idea because they'll show them what they should be doing. But a lot of people just start up on their own, and they pull out the cotton socks and put them on and put on a pair of cotton sweats and several layers of cotton. And, of course, you know, cotton gets wet and stays wet, and it'll make you feel much colder than it actually is. It's really not a good material for runners at all. You need to go with synthetic fabrics, you know, the hydrophobic, hydrophilic fabrics, and make sure something gets wicking away from the body. And then something that's going to maintain heat, so you usually want a base layer that wicks, something to keep your heat in, an insulative layer, and then maybe a wind-breaking fabric over the top, a hat or something to cover your ears to maintain some heat on the head, making sure that your hands, your extremities are warm is very important. One of the tips I didn't mention there would be the idea of possibly for the winter months, considering different shoes. I have some people that I coach, and then they have basically, after my recommendation, switched to trail shoes for the winter months, especially if you're running in a lot of sloppy conditions. They like the more aggressive lug pattern, and they're not really running on a hard road. They're running mostly on packed snow and that kind of surface, and so the trail shoes work very well. And I usually tell them to go up a half size during the winter months so they can wear an extra layer on the foot.
That's a good idea.
I don't like real heavy socks, but I find that if you wear two thin pairs of socks, it works very well. The inside pair may get a little damp, but you won't feel wet. Your feet will feel dry. It helps to pull the moisture away from the foot. And so having that extra space is always good. Another tip I didn't give there is about storing your shoes. You know, a lot of people come in from the cold, and they pull their shoes off and, you know, leave them on a front porch or in the garage or something in the cold. And the materials in the running shoes are synthetics, and of course the midsole for most running shoes is EVA, ethyl vinyl acetate, and that is very prone to temperature. It'll get stiff, it'll get hard, and it doesn't feel very flexible. And so if you keep your shoes stored outside like that, when you go out to run, you'll be running on a very hard pair of shoes. So even if you have to store them immediately outside after the run, on a back porch or on a, you know, in a garage or someplace that's not heated, it's good to move them indoors before you're going to run so that the shoe warms up a little bit. Your feet will feel more comfortable in the shoe, and that the shoe will be a little softer, and it'll be a little more flexible underfoot as you start to run.
Do you also advise people to be careful not to overdress? Because I know there are lots of people
Absolutely.
Who they look at the temperature and they think, oh, it's cold, and they forget how much they're going to warm up when they're running. And I see a lot of runners out there who look really hot and end up, you know, with something tied around their waist or with too many layers on and they're shedding clothes. You do have to kind of bear the first 5 minutes where you might be a little bit colder than you want to be, but know that you're going to warm up with the run, and you want to be dressed at the right zone, not overdressed.
Absolutely. I also recommend running, since predominantly the west winds, the predominant winds come from the west, it's best to run towards the west when you start off and then run east on the way back. Generally, the prevailing winds you'll have from the west. Now, of course, if it's a storm, it'd be different. So if you start off warm and dry running against the wind when it's coldest and the wind is to your back on the way back, you won't feel as cold. That's a good thing to remember. The other thing is to dress maybe 5 to 6 degrees warmer than the actual temperature. In other words, assume that it's going to be that much warmer, even though it's not. People tend to dress exactly what feels perfect when they walk out. They say, oh, I feel good. But if you're warm and toasty when you go out, you're going to be sweating by the time you get back, and you're going to be damp and cold. So you figure the temperature to be 5 to 6 degrees warmer than it actually is, and that will feel about right when you come back.
And you also have some advice on when to run and when not to run.
Well, that depends. I made recommendations for people if they're able to run at lunchtime. A lot of people have lunch breaks, and instead of waiting until they get home at night, you know, a lot of times you get home and by 4:30, 5 o'clock, it's pitch black, and you don't have a chance to get out there. So if you can get out and rearrange your schedule and get out during a lunch break, or if you have to run in the early morning hours, it's very important to make sure that you do have something to reflect. But I did make mention of that in the blog if somebody wants to read about that. Yeah. The other thing I mentioned was about for traction on ice, and I that's another little trick that I've found has been very effective. I was out earlier this evening, and I had a pair of shoes on with the little spikes I talked about. I recommend if you go to a hardware store or a home supply store and buy the little hex screws that go on the back of appliances. You see them on the back of washing machines and microwaves. It's a little hex screw. Get the ones that are about 3/8 of an inch long, and you put about 10, 14 of those around the perimeter of each shoe. And you screw them around the perimeter. Make sure you don't put them in underfoot. But you can use a little hex driver. You can put them in by hand or use a power driver and put them all around the perimeter of the shoe. And even though they're barely sticking out there, they work great. They give you great traction on the hard-packed snow or ice. It's incredible how much more sure-footed you can be with those. And right now I was out this evening, and it was very icy conditions, a lot of ice. The roads were not clear. And I was amazed at how well they work. They work just super. And it's so cheap. I mean, you can buy a few of those for a few cents, and you put them on your shoe, and they work great. They won't damage the shoe if you put them around the perimeter. You can remove them later, and the little hole pretty much seals up, and as long as you don't burst a gel pack or anything that's in the shoe. But you can put them around the perimeter. They work very well. You can remove them, and you'll hardly even know that they were there. So that's another thing you might want to consider if you have to run out there a lot. And I did make note, too, make sure that if you do that to your shoes, that you do take the shoes off before you walk in on your hardwood floors, because they will scratch the floor.
Absolutely. That's all great advice. Mark, thank you so much for joining us on iRun Radio.
Thanks for having me.
That's Mark Sullivan, who has completed more than 200 marathons. You can find more of his advice at irun.ca. Coming up, we're going to talk to an inspiring runner from Calgary who has used running to overcome grief and loss. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Our next guest on iRun Radio is Kent Spears. Kent lives in Calgary, and he took up running in part to overcome a series of devastating events that happened to him just less than 2 years ago. Kent, welcome to iRun Radio.
Hi, how are you, Mark?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
And tell me a little bit about your journey and how you got into running. I gather you started running just last year, is that right?
Yeah, I started running, it was actually last February. I was having a conversation with a colleague of mine, Patty, and just sort of talking about the upcoming year and some of the things that she was up to. And she looked at me and said, you know, I really think that you could run the half marathon. And to be honest with you, I laughed and thought, how the heck are you thinking I could run a half marathon? I was at my peak weight at the time and hadn't been very physically active for probably a year and a half after going through a rather challenging year. But I thought, I'll try, see how it goes. And so it started with a 3-kilometer run at the university gym, and I was hurting for about a week and a half, but then just sort of kept going and went from there.
Okay. So then you did the half marathon in the spring of last year. That all happened very quickly then.
Yeah, it really did. I sort of was hooked on it right after that first initial run and thought, let's just keep trying and give it a shot and see how it goes. And, you know, I think it's the case with many runners that you keep up with a pretty good training program, then you'll see improvements pretty quickly. And that's how I felt. Plus, I felt not only good physically, but mentally after each run, and was, I guess, kind of addicted to it, to be honest.
Yeah. And tell me about what you were going through in life at the time, because from what I understand, this was a little bit therapeutic for you. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely very therapeutic. So in mid-2015, my father, who was 58 years old at the time, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And so through a period of 10 months, I accompanied him to all of his chemotherapy treatments, his oncologist appointments, and you know, right off the bat, he did very good the first 3 months of treatment, and then things just started to not work out so well with his treatment plan, and he started to sort of succumb to cancer, and ultimately, he passed away in February of 2016. I went up to visit him. He lived in Fort McMurray. That's where I grew up and where my family was from. And I went up to see him for a period of about 8 days. And as I was driving home on that Sunday night, I pulled into my driveway at home here down in Calgary. And I got a phone call from my mother, and she had told me that my aunt had passed away suddenly that day. And so in preparations to go visit that part of my family, I got a call on that Wednesday saying I needed to come to Fort McMurray immediately and that my dad wasn't doing well. And I was kind of skeptical. I thought, no, I just saw him. He was okay, doing fine. But on my way to the airport, I got a phone call that he had passed away. So just a few days after my aunt.
Wow.
And yeah, so it was a double whammy for sure.
Very sorry to hear that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And then a couple of months had passed by, and we're sort of working through the process that you do with the family over a period of a couple of months. And the wildfires of Fort McMurray had occurred in May, as I'm sure most of the country is aware of.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, my family home was one of the homes that was destroyed in that fire.
Oh, no.
So that was another thing that so we had to deal with.
Yeah, well, as soon as you said Fort McMurray in 2016, that's the first thing that came to mind for me, is whether you were affected by that. So obviously, that's devastating as well. That's one thing after another in a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely felt like I don't know how much more I was able to take.
Wow. So how did you recover from that, and what role has running played in that for you?
Oh, I'd say that it was a bit of a slow journey to figure out what I needed to do to get back to the life that I was used to. Definitely was a lot of discussions with family and friends, and that was one of the discussions I was having with my colleague Patty that afternoon, and she said, "I think you need something to work towards, and something that you can achieve." And I think that would be running the half marathon. And so that's sort of how that happened. And then run after run, feeling better and better. It just sort of visualized all of those things in 2016 and thought, okay, I'm going to beat this. And this will be sort of the way in which I'm visualizing getting over all of those things.
Yeah. And do you feel that it worked for you? And what did the half marathon itself come to symbolize something for you?
Oh, absolutely. I had never run 21.1 kilometers in my life. I never even imagined it. And when it got to race day and we were sort of at mile 20, you know, your brain kind of plays tricks with you where you're thinking, okay, great, I'm going to do this, but you're also just I was in quite a bit of pain and quite tired, and thought, okay, this is it. And I just visualized. I actually had a moment where I said to my dad, okay, Dad, we're going to do this. We're going to finish this. And I remember crossing the finish line and seeing my partner and my mom and my brother there at the end of the finish line. And it was quite an emotional moment for me. I broke down at the end and thought, okay, I did it. This is it. I'm able to move beyond these tragedies, and it's not going to hold me back anymore because I was able to do this. And so it was really motivating and symbolic for me.
Wow. You described that so well. So clearly you were thinking about your dad in those final few hundred meters leading up to the finish line.
Yeah, I actually, in all the training that I was doing last year, I had sort of a moment with my father each time where I would say, okay, let's go, Dad. And my dad was a very active man in his youth and a bodybuilder. And I thought, okay, if he can do that, and if he could face the treatments that he had to face with the strength that he did, this is the least I can do by running, whether it was a 5K run, a 10K run, or ultimately the 21.1.
Yeah, well, good for you. And afterwards, how did you feel about the accomplishment of running your first half marathon only a few months after you'd taken up running?
I felt great. I felt sore as well. But no, it really, to me, it felt remarkable. I felt very proud of what I had done and sticking to the training program, and thought I had doubts in the beginning. I had doubts sort of throughout every once in a while, and I would hit the roadblocks along the way, but no, I'm very proud of myself and very thankful for the support that I had with my family and friends.
And obviously, once you had done the half marathon, it's not like you ticked that box and you didn't want to do it anymore. You kept running after that?
Yeah, absolutely. I kept running. I kept being active. I kept investing time into figuring out what was going to work for me for a lifestyle change. That, as I said, it was a challenging 2015, 2016, and I had put on quite a bit of weight and was very inactive and living an unhealthy lifestyle. So I saw the half marathon as the end and not a checkbox, but the beginning of something else. And I've continued with that throughout, even until today.
And what's next for you? Are you doing the half marathon again this spring?
Yeah, I'm going to do the half marathon this spring, and I'm going to beat my time. And that's really what my goal is. Even if it's 5 minutes, I'll be happy. I'd like it to be a little bit more than that, but that's the next thing.
Well, right on. And obviously, running is now a part of your life.
Running is a part of my life. I have a desk job where I'm sitting most of the work day, and I put running on my list of things to do. I used to put it at the bottom of my list as, you know, I'll get to it. But I think, as we know, work days can be stressful. Work days can be hard, and we think, forget it, I'm just going to go home. I'll schedule it for tomorrow. But I actually try to put it on the top of my list so that I do get it done at least 4 times a week, if not 5.
Good for you. What an inspiring story, Kent. And I wish you the very best of luck. And I'm sorry for everything you went through, but I'm glad that you found a way to get to the other side of it, and that running has been a part of that. Thank you for sharing your story today.
Thanks very much, Mark.
That's Kent Spears, a runner in Calgary. On next week's show, we're going to be joined by the author of a new book called Running for My Life: How I Built a Better Me, One Step at a Time. I hope you can join us then. Have a great week.